In this session, we shall look at the rules for trusts with vulnerable beneficiaries. These rules are designed to reduce the tax liability for trusts set up for the benefit of a vulnerable person. A vulnerable person is either a disabled person, including a person with a mental disorder, or a relevant minor. This means a person under the age of 18, at least one of whose parents has died. To qualify for the special income tax treatment, the terms of the trust must provide for the beneficiary to receive the capital of the trust, together with any accumulated income, by the age of 18. There are six steps in calculating the income tax liability for trusts where the beneficiary is a vulnerable person. These steps can be found in sections 26 to 28 of Finance Act 2005. Let us run through each of the steps in turn. In step 1, we first calculate the income tax liability for the trust using the normal rules, i.e., assuming the beneficiary is not a vulnerable person. The legislation calls the resulting tax figure TQTI, but for simplicity, we will call it T. Step 2. We next calculate the tax liability of the vulnerable person, assuming the trust income were to be treated as his own. This is called TLV1. TLV, according to the legislation, stands for tax liability for the vulnerable beneficiary. In step 3, we calculate the tax liability of the vulnerable person ignoring the trust income. This is called TLV2. Note here that if any trust income is distributed to the beneficiary in the year, it is ignored in computing TLV2. Step 4. We then take TLV1 and deduct TLV2. This is called VQTI in the legislation, but again, for simplicity, we will call it V. This is essentially the additional tax which the beneficiary would be liable for, assuming the trust income accrued directly to him. In step 5, we take our original T from step 1 and deduct V from step 4. T minus V is the trustee's tax relief. Finally, in step 6, we take the trustee's tax liability as calculated in step 1 and deduct the tax relief in step 5. The result is the revised trustee's tax liability. In essence, what the rules are trying to do is to calculate the tax liability of the trustees as if the trust income had accrued directly to the vulnerable beneficiary. This enables the trust to take into account the beneficiary's personal allowances, etc. This reduces the tax burden where the beneficiary is not a higher rate taxpayer. These provisions give relief for discretionary or A&M trusts only. Where the beneficiary has an interest in possession in the trust, and the trust income thereafter flows through to the beneficiary by right, these rules do not apply, and the trustee's tax liability is taxed in accordance with the rules in the session on interest in possession trusts. The special rules do not apply where the settlor can benefit from the trust. In this case, the trust income is wholly taxed on the settlor. Let us run through a numerical example to see how the rules will work. The Morgan Will Trust was set up on the 6th of April 2010 on the death of Joe Morgan. The trust is for the benefit of Joe's only son, Luke. Luke is 15. The trust is discretionary until Luke reaches 18. The trust satisfies the conditions as being a trust with a vulnerable beneficiary. The trust has income and expenses in 2010-11 as indicated on the screen. The trust has rental profits, net of expenses, of £28,000, bank interest net of tax of £9,600, and UK dividends of £4,500. In addition, the trust paid management expenses in the year of £1,350. Luke is still at school. His only income is earnings from a part-time job of £1,000 and interest on a national savings account received gross of £400. You will note that Luke's income is therefore wholly covered by personal allowances, so no liability arises. We need to calculate the tax liability of the trustees under the FA 2005 rules. In step 1, we calculate trust tax liability using normal rules. Gross trust income is as shown on the screen. Management expenses are grossed up and deducted from dividend income. This leaves £3,500 of dividends to be charged at the higher rate. Chargeable income is as per the screen. The first £1,000 of rental profits is taxed at 20%. The rest of the rents and the bank interest are taxed at 50%. The dividends after expenses are taxed at 42.5%. The £1,500 of dividend income used to meet the trust expenses are taxed at the lower rate of 10%. This gives a tax liability before tax credits of £21,337. Tax credits on interest and dividends are £2,900, leaving tax due of £18,437. This is tax payable calculated using the normal rules for discretionary trusts. This we call T. In step 2, we calculate Luke's tax liability, assuming that the trust income was deemed to have accrued to him personally. You will note from the screen that here we have simply taken the gross trust income and treated this as belonging to Luke, in addition to his own earnings and national savings interest. We take trust income before any expenses. We deduct Luke's personal allowances to give taxable income as per the screen. We tax this income in the normal way. The non-savings income, being Luke's earnings plus the trust rental income, is taxed at 20%. The interest is taxed at 20%. The trust dividends are taxed on Luke at 10% within the basic rate band and 32.5% above the threshold. After deducting tax credits on trust interest and trust dividends, the tax liability deemed to arise to Luke is £5,153. This is called TLV1. In step 3, we calculate Luke's tax liability ignoring trust income, i.e. his liability on his own personal income. This is nil, as all his income is covered by personal allowances. The figure we call TLV2 is therefore zero. This will be quite common, as many vulnerable beneficiaries will be minor children with little or no income. Moving on to step 4. Here we take TLV1 and subtract TLV2. TLV2 is zero. This leaves us with TLV1 being £5,153. This effectively equates to the extra tax that would be payable by Luke if the trust income had arisen to him directly. This we call V. The next step is step 5. In step 5, we start with T, which is the original tax payable by the trustees as calculated in step 1. From this, we subtract V from step 4. T is £18,437, V is £5,153, so the difference between them is £13,284. This is the tax relief available to the trustees. This will be deducted from the trustees' original tax liability, calculated under normal rules, to arrive at their revised liability under the special rules. Finally, we arrive at step 6. The trustees' tax liability for 2010-11 is therefore the original liability of £18,437 less the tax relief. The tax relief is £13,284, giving a revised liability of £5,153. This will be paid by the trustees under self-assessment. Essentially, these rules act to align the trustees' tax liability with that which would have arisen had the trust income been received directly by the vulnerable beneficiary. There are two claims which must be made before the special rules can be applied. The first election is the vulnerable person election. This is a joint election by the trustees and the beneficiary, or by a guardian or legal representative of the beneficiary, to the revenue to confirm that the trust is a qualifying trust and the beneficiary is a vulnerable beneficiary. The election is irrevocable and must state the date from which the election is to take effect. The time limit for the election is the 31st of January after the end of the tax year following that in which it first takes effect. This can be extended at the discretion of the revenue. The vulnerable person's election will run until either the beneficiary ceases to be a vulnerable person, for example on attaining the age of 18, or the trust is no longer a qualifying trust, for example if the beneficiaries change, or the trust is wound up. If any of these events occur, the trustees must notify the revenue within 90 days. The second election is a formal claim for special tax treatment. The special tax rules do not apply automatically. The relief must be claimed by the trustees. On making this election, the trustees become subject to the special rules as outlined in this session. The election is made year by year by the trustees via their self-assessment return. For example, an election for the special rules to apply in 1 year does not therefore mean that the special rules apply for the following year. Another election must be made in the following year's return. If an election is not made by the trustees, the usual rules for taxing the trust will apply instead. There are a few miscellaneous rules to be aware of. If the rules apply for only part of a year, trust income is apportioned, and the special rules only apply to income arising in that part of the year for which an election is made. This may happen, for example, if the parent or parents die during the year, or if the vulnerable beneficiary attains 18 during the year. If a trust has mixed beneficiaries, i.e. some who are vulnerable and beneficiaries who are not, again, the trust income and expenses are apportioned such that the special rules only apply to that part of the trust income which is allocated to a vulnerable beneficiary. This would apply, for instance, if a will trust has two beneficiaries, one under the age of 18 and one over 18. Finally, if a qualifying trust, i.e. one with a vulnerable beneficiary, has capital gains, CGT relief is also available. In this instance, the trustee's liability to CGT is similarly reduced by the difference between the CGT payable if the gains were charged on the vulnerable beneficiary and the CGT payable if the gains were charged on the trust. The effect of this is that the trustee's liability is the same as that which would arise if the gains were charged on the vulnerable beneficiary. This uses the beneficiary's CGT exemption. This concludes this session on trust for vulnerable beneficiaries.